Hello, and thank you for staying tuned to Health Matters on Channels Television. I am Mary Alale Yusuf. As at Friday, April 23rd, there were over 145 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 globally. More than 83 million people have recovered, and the death toll is over 3 million. In Nigeria, there were over 164,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19, more than 154,000 recoveries, and 2,061 deaths. That's no deaths for almost 2 weeks. 486 new infections and 339 recoveries between the 16th and 23rd. Recovery rate is about 94%. Case fatality dropped to 1.25%. Total samples tested are over 1.8 million with almost 33,000 new tests during the week. Bird flu officially broke out in Nigeria on January the 29th, 2021. It's been 2 years since the last outbreak, and so far, the current one has been reported in 9 Nigerian states, including Kano, Plateau, Bauchi, Gombe, Nasarawa, Kaduna, and Niger states. Two of these states, at least, reported human cases of the infection. Avian influenza is caused by a virus which primarily affects birds, but can be transferred to human beings also. My guest today is a vet doctor and surgeon, member of the Nigerian Veterinary Medical Association, and CEO and MD, Bibits Veterinary Consult, Dr. Salmot Olugosi. You're welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
It's great to have a vet on the show.
<Same here.
laughs> At least we're talking about birds.
Yes.
When we talk about bird flu, we think of only chickens, but that's not where I'm going. Okay. This disease is relatively new. According to reports, I think they said the first cases 1997 or so?
Yes, 96.
96. So that's about 25 years. How did it all start?
The first case was in geese in China in 1996.
Geese?
Yes.
Okay.
But the first case in Africa and Nigeria was in 2006. And the first human case was in 2007.
Okay. And didn't take long to go to humans.
Yes, but we were able to contain it. Then there was a re-emergence in 2015, 2016, which spilled over up to 2018. And we had a break since 2019, 2020, until the recent outbreak in January in Kano. And that has been it.
What causes it? What is the thing? Okay, for example, when COVID-19 started, people were not sure, but at least they could surmise that, okay, maybe it's that wet market in China. Where did this bird flu come from?
Actually, bird flu is caused by is a viral infection. That's the avian influenza. There are two types. There's the highly pathogenic and the low pathogenic. The highly pathogenic avian influenza is the one that is that we are currently talking about.
Yes, HPAI, the yes. H5N1.
Yes, it's a viral infection that is most commonly in birds, but you can see it in other animals. Okay. The virus is a normal inhabitat of some wild birds.
Okay.
That is how, like, all those migratory birds, the quail and some other wild birds, is a normal inhabitant. So by the time they migrate and then they comes in contact with domestic birds, then it becomes highly pathogenic. When it's the low pathogenic type, it can go unnoticed.
So are you saying this is kind of like an unholy alliance between birds that caused this thing?
Well, if you put it that way. Then it can affect other animals, and then some of it can gain zoonotic tendency.
Mm.
That is, they can
move into humans.
But so far, there has been no real good record to say that there can be human-to-human transmission. The transmission has always been between the birds, highly contaminated birds, and humans, those that have direct contact with the birds.
Okay.
So those are the ones at risk. You're talking about the poultry farm attendants, you're talking about the lifeboat markets, sellers, and those that come daily.
That actually touch these birds.
Yes, those.
Okay, it's been 2 years.
Okay.
First of all, what's the secret behind keeping it at bay for 2 years? And is it COVID-19 that caused this? No. Was it a neglect or something?
No, it is not. The truth is, there has always been constant surveillance. And there will always be surveillance to monitor the avian influenza virus. So once there is, but I think the geographical positioning put us at a disadvantage, as well as the migratory birds. You see, it started from the north, even the temperature, you know. So, and it started from, I think the first outbreak in January started from the local birds.
Okay.
So before it's, and you know, because of the uncontrolled nature of the poultry industry and the farming system in the country. So there's no way you can, once there's an outbreak like that, birds move from here, the virus can easily spread.
Yeah, because somebody said, you know, in the evening over the skies of Kaduna, she sees a horde of birds just flying over. And she's wondering, could that be part of the problem?
Yes, they are migratory birds. Yes, those are part of the problem.
Okay. I've asked this before, but it's important. I have a vet in the house. I need to ask.
Okay.
Is there really a vaccine against this?
There is.
Flu.
Yes. That is in birds now.
Yes, for the birds.
Yes. There is a vaccine against it. But the Nigerian policy is against vaccination against bird flu.
Okay, and you will tell me why, I suppose?
Yes, okay, yes. That's what I want to explain now. Actually, this influenza virus, it has the potential of mutating easily. There's this thing we call genetic reassortment.
As all viruses, I suppose.
Yes, but in this case, once there is a reassortment, they can gain the potential of, at the moment, okay, like presently, I think the cases in humans that we saw this time around is up to 7, unlike the previous one that has always been 1 or 2 or just a few. And we are thinking this might also be as a result of mutation.
Okay.
So that we'll not have a new strain being introduced, which will now become more virulent.
But I thought the whole point of giving a vaccination is to stop the disease in its tracks and to prevent mutations from happening.
Well, there are... Currently, there is a lot of debates going on, but the stand of the federal government on this issue is that we don't want them to introduce new strains into the country by way of vaccination. So our own way of control is containment, stamping out, disinfection, decontamination, and possibly compensation.
Okay, before we go to containment and all that stuff, I'm sure you know some countries where they use vaccinations.
Yes.
How have they fared? Are they having better results? Are their birds healthier? Do they have less bird flu? Because, I mean, science-based is what we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm. Scientifically, I think with the few information we have, there has been good results. That the vaccination has been able to kind of relatively, though not 100% immunity, but at least they've been able to contain it and they've been able to get some results. They've been able to limit the...
Spread. So are you able to tell me, you know, because I know it's a heavy responsibility, but are you able to tell me whether the vets are happy with this policy of not vaccinating birds?
You know, when you're talking about the vets now, we're looking at everybody in general. When you bring us round the table, there are some that are for vaccination, while there are some that are against vaccination. And I'm sure the federal government has done their due consultation and diligence, and a lot of work is still going on. The policy can change anytime. But at the moment, that is what stands. And then we are still trying to, like some people are saying, okay, why not let us do some research? Let us do some select some location, do this, try vaccination and see if we get a better result.
Even if it's in just a part of the bird population or a part of the country.
Yes, a part of the country so that at least we can see how it comes.
Your results will make sense. You know that there's no cross-referencing between birds and your results are pure.
Yes.
Just saying.
Okay. but definitely, there will always be two views.
Yes. So let's go to containment. I want to ask before you launch into it, what's the policy of donning PPE? Is this something that vets are supposed to do for their birds or any other animals?
No, actually, what the most important thing is biosecurity. Biosecurity is very essential in a farm environment. So once the biosecurity is in place, there would have been proper disinfection, there would have been all those would have been taken care of. Though there is a protective clothing, it's part of the biosecurity. Those that will have direct access or direct contact to the birds have there is a changing room where they come in, change into their protective clothing, go in, and once they are done, put it off, clean themselves up, and then they are sure they are not carrying whatever is on the farm out of the farm, and they are not bringing in something foreign from outside the farm into the farm.
So they have rules for cleaning up before they go into the house.
Yes, there's cleaning up, there's
disinfection of the farm.
Even vehicles coming in, their tires have to be disinfected. They are not allowed to come in direct contact with the birds. There is limitation to where they can get to. Even the egg crates, the egg crates move out of the farm. So before bringing it back in, there has to be proper disinfection, equipment. Even their waste management, the waste has to be properly managed. So there are so many.
Do all farmers observe these rules?
Ideally.
Because these things are sounding strange to me now.
Ideally, all farmers are supposed to. But you know, we are in Nigeria. That's why, especially when you're talking about all this backyard farm.
Somebody is prevalent in the south.
Yeah, somebody just wakes up, decide to mount up something.
To keep chickens.
Yes, and once he's going out, he comes in. Even the children in the house comes that in direct contact without taking cognizance. So that is where the government has to come in to properly regulate the poultry industry. There must be a standard. There must be a standard to which you must have attained. Or there must be a laid down standard. Okay, if you don't have this, if these are not in place, you cannot keep a poultry farm. Be it whatever number, 50, 100, those things has to be in place.
Now, I was thinking about this and I was looking at the human example with COVID, how when somebody has COVID, you keep the person away from other people so that they don't catch it. Mm. So do you have policies for caging so that, if one cage has caught it, at least another cage can be free.
We call it isolation.
Okay.
So we isolate the sick birds. That is the first rule. Once you take,
but you have to have PPE for that.
Yes, that's why I said all those things under normal condition are available on the farm. They are in place. So you have to isolate the sick ones in special isolation room, or if it is a whole pen, you isolate and restrict movement and put them under observation. And you have to make sure you alert your veterinarian immediately. Those are part of the challenges we have.
Okay, there's a chain of command as well.
Yes. Those are the challenges we have. Most farmers these days don't even consult. They don't even have a vet consulting for them. So when this thing comes up, they would have done a lot before, it is when
and
it is out
it has
of hand.
Spread.
Yes, and it would have spread beyond. So then even contact tracing and all that will become very impossible. So most people don't engage the vet. So the first thing on seeing any signs in bird is to engage your vet.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop you there.
Okay.
We're going to go on a short break and continue when we come back. Please stay with us. This is getting interesting. We're coming back right after the break. Welcome back. It's Health Matters on Channels TV. We're talking about bird flu and there's a vet in the house. Call 0808-054-2233 if you have questions on bird flu. You can also tweet at @CTV_MaryA while we continue with the conversation. How do you know your bird has flu?
Yes, that's a very big question. The signs of bird flu are actually similar to the every other viral signs, like you have a swollen head, you have some other flu signs, you have hemorrhagic lesions on the shark, you have pink wattle. So it can be mistaken. So once it's suspected, that's why we said the vet has to be brought in. Once those signs are seen, usually those are part of the challenges we have. Some of them, they would have tried antibiotics. It is when it does not take care of what is going on, maybe after a week or two, that they now conclude that it's bird flu. But once a vet is brought in, the vet would have seen those signs and then take it as a suspect, inform the avian influenza desk officer in the state. They take samples, send to VOM in Jos. And once the result comes out, they'll be able to declare, okay.
It has to go all the way to Jos.
Yes.
How long does it take to get results back?
At least within a few days, the results will be out. But pending while when the result will be out, immediately you suspect it's bird flu, we restrict movement. We quarantine that particular farm until the result.
Okay, the whole farm is quarantined.
Yes.
Now, let's consider the farmer himself.
Yes.
He has noticed that one or two birds are behaving in a funny way.
Okay.
They suspect bird flu. They've taken samples. Is he going to lose every other bird on that farm?
Once, presently, the rule is once there is it comes out positive, if there is complete stamping out of the farm, of the birds.
I know a few
farm.
People who will tell you that they'll cook the thing and eat.
Yes, those are part of the challenges we have. That is why we have been having challenges controlling.
No, but if they cook the birds, can they spread the flu?
Well, once the birds are properly cooked, the virus
and handled with gloves, maybe.
But how will you?
Then you have to wash everywhere.
During the process of moving it from the farm to your port,
that's true.
You must have contaminated a lot of places, so that is why it is not allowed.
I was shocked to hear that flying birds have flu. You have now said yes, it is true. But are birds really falling from the sky?
No. But they are not falling from the sky.
Okay, that's a relief.
Yes. The flu, they are just inhabitants. They are like hosts. They carry it around. That doesn't mean they are sick.
Let's quickly take this call from Yusuf at Yaba. Hello, Yusuf.
Hello, good afternoon, madam.
Good afternoon, what's your question?
My question has to do with the vaccine we are now taking concerning COVID. That's the vaccine we're not taking presently in Nigeria.
Okay.
That's right. I'm aware that taking vaccine will boost with the human immunity. Am I correct, ma'am? Then, what I want to know is, even if you are negative, you don't have the disease, even if you take the vaccine, does the vaccine have the capacity to take care of other ailments the woman is going through? Do you understand what I mean, ma?
Okay, but my guest is a vet doctor, so I wouldn't want to burden her with that question. You can ask it at some other time, but I would definitely consider that.
But I think I can give my opinion on that.
You want to give him an idea?
Go ahead, give it a shot.
Okay, the vaccine is against COVID-19. It is specific. That is what it has been prepared for. So other ailments will have to be taken care of by other means.
All right. So it's targeted at COVID.
COVID,
it doesn't handle other things.
Yes.
There's your answer, Yusuf. So glad you could take that question on. All right. Now, how are vets collaborating with doctors to make sure human beings don't get this disease, unawares, people in town and all that?
Yes. We are all under the One Health initiative, and which is all about safeguarding the human health now by doing what is right, by safeguarding animal health and the environment. So even when we're talking about the bird flu, the containment team also includes the avian influenza desk officer. It includes the epidemiologic officer of both. You have representative from the vet, the Ministry of Agri, the Ministry of Health, and the Ministry of Environment. Because samples will also be taken from humans that have come in direct contact with the birds.
Can I just pause you there while we talk to Moses? Hello, Moses from Port Harcourt.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Moses. What's your question?
My question is, I rear birds, do not for commercial purposes.
Okay.
But for subsistence purposes, like, not that much. But I always have the challenges whenever I rear bird. When they are matured, I see them, like, their legs start folding. They don't stand firm again. They start stressing some. I don't really know what the problem.
Like, okay, we'll let the vet handle that, Moses. Do you recognize this?
Yes. A lot of factors can be responsible for that, starting from the feeding, the vaccination. Is the vaccination protocol properly followed? Because most people that keep little number of birds, all they do is just give antibiotics and mineral supplements. That's all. They don't give proper vaccination. So it could be any of these. That is why.
So are you saying even with his little farm, just a sustenance little farm, he should get a vet to look at his birds?
Definitely.
I hope we can afford these vets.
No, those are part of what we are. Those vets are actually affordable. There are also government facilities. Every state have a vet facility.
Okay.
But what we are now advocating is let the government make the veterinary service easily accessible for small-scale farmers and the middle-scale farmers. Let there be, even at the level of every local government, if there are some farm settlements, there should be a vet facility there. It can be either directly done by government or by collaboration with private veterinarians. So that will make the vet service easily accessible.
Okay. Let's take Chukwu Emeka from Enugu. Hello, Chukwu Emeka.
Yeah, hello. Thank you very much. I have a question on this vaccination for bird flu.
Go ahead.
Yes, if I worry that they will introduce other strains, why don't we make the vaccine in our farm? We have the veterinary institute in farm that can make the vaccines so that they use the local strains of the virus to make the vaccines for Nigeria. Okay. Instead of that, will allay the fear of bringing a new strain from outside the country.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chukwu Emeka. Is he making sense with this suggestion?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense because the VOM, they have the facility to. But the point is not about the vaccination itself, but the reassortment between, because now we are having this particular variant in all birds.
Okay.
But like I said, nothing is science keeps evolving every day. So I'm sure a lot of work is already going on.
It looks like there's a lot of consultation that actually needs to take place, concerning this, especially because human infection is involved, and two, livelihoods are involved.
Yes, livelihoods.
Which brings me to my next question. Do birds ever recover from the flu?
No. Because even if, for whatever, they don't even, the fatality rate is 100%.
Wow.
It's 100.
So it makes sense to find a solution that will eliminate the flu.
Yes, yes.
Because somebody can be rich today and poor the next.
Why farmers that have birds over 3,000 are advised to insure their birds.
Okay.
While the ones below 3,000, I think the government is still giving compensation.
But who would want to take on such insurance if you're going to have bird flu every year or every other year?
You're right. Those are some of the arguments of those that are for vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
That at least with vaccination, they would have been able to insure themselves or protect themselves against such.
Okay, just in 2 seconds, is there any work going on for a cure?
For a cure?
Yes.
No. It's a viral infection. So the best you can do with viral infection is prevention. So the only work, what is going on is continued surveillance.
Surveillance,
yes,
disinfection, containment.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Salmot Ulugosi, for coming to the show. It's been such a pleasure. And thank you for being with us there. Thanks for your calls, Yusuf Moses, Chukwu Emeka, all of you at home and wherever else you are listening. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. I am Mary Alale Yusuf.